Baseball at a crossroads. Commissioner Rob Manfred on Commissioners, the TV show last night. What's the polar opposite of unscathed? Scathed!
Very scathed. Blister.
The players say they're disgusted. The fans certainly disgusted. I don't want to alarm anybody, but it's possible Major League Baseball is not operating optimally at the present. And I'm going to go real basic here, national panel, because last night, again, at the commissioner's enchantment under the Zoom dance, you heard Adam Silver, you heard Roger Goodell, you heard every commissioner. Nobody is getting it like Rob Manfred's getting it, and it's deserved, right? I mean, this is the only sport that really is at risk of not starting a season. So I want to ask you, Sarah Spain, first to you, why?
Let me try to Manfred-splain this to you.
Manifesto.
Oh. All right, all right.
You've been waiting your whole life.
Here's the thing. In baseball in general, for whatever reason, we don't affiliate the commissioner with a representation of the owners like we do in other sports. Maybe that's in part because we're not quite as familiar with baseball ownership as, say, those few leaders in the NFL that are most vocal. He deserves it, though. He deserves it because if he's supposed to be a steward of the game and be connecting these two parts, even if he represents the owners, the way that he's done so and the message that he's sending has been deeply flawed to the point where I no longer even need the transparency of their financials to prove to me whether or not that shortened season was the only way to move forward and be healthy for franchises going forward. I don't care anymore. I'm completely bought in on what Trevor Bauer was tweeting last night, which thank you very little, coronavirus, for making me side with a guy I always disagree with. But he's making complete sense. It feels like what the owners wanted all along was to drag their feet and pretend to negotiate so that eventually there would only be time left for what they want, which is a very short season at prorated salaries so that they can be socialist in the way they take their losses and privatized in previous years in the way they took their gains.
What a tour de force of an argument there from Saturday. What did you call the commissioner? Steward. You are the steward of the game for the Manfred Splain. Let's bring in Frank Isola here. Why is this happening only to baseball and to Rob Manfred right now?
You know, Sarah, I see your Manfred splaining, and I'm going to give you a Manfred manifesto because the commissioner has something called the best interest in baseball clause. That's when he can take action against a team or clubs or players if he feels like they've done something to harm the integrity of the sport or maybe the public's trust in the sport. That's where we are right now. There are reports out there that owners don't even want baseball to continue this season. We know the players want to play. It's time for the commissioner to step in, get something done, and get the players back on the field playing baseball.
Jay Adonde, it was about 3 days ago when Manfred said 100% chance there would be baseball this season. You were on all on board with that. You're like, this is great. I love a commissioner that speaks his mind. What do you have to say for yourself now? Pick up the pieces of your argument here.
Foolish me. When the commissioner of baseball, who had the power to invoke a mandatory start to the season under certain circumstances, said there was a 100% chance, I thought that meant there was a 100% chance they were going to play this season. So that's on me. Actually, no,
yes,
it's on him
yes,
for having to backtrack it that fast. And more importantly, I look bad, but he looks worse. And his credibility is at stake now. It's basically vanished after that quick 180 that he pulled. So that's another problem. The other issue is that for the first time, baseball is undergoing labor strife in the social media era. We haven't had this before during previous baseball strikes, and the players are better equipped for this arena, and they're winning this battle. So in the past, maybe the owners could count on sort of drawing the public to their side through some propaganda. That's not happening now. Out in the Twitter streets, the players are very vocal, and they're winning this battle.
Players winning this battle this week. It wasn't the case about a month ago when they were tweeting about their salaries and wondering everything about that. But baseball owners and the commissioner like, hold my $15 beer. I'm getting in there. Mike Trout, Gerrit Cole, just to name a few, Bryce Harper, all coming out today, Sarah Spain, saying, tell us when to show up and we'll be there. Do you think they mean that, or is that strategy or lip service or something?
I think they mean it. I think it's the ultimate power move to call the bluff of baseball. Okay, fine. then if we're not going to make any progress, then just tell us where to be and when, which you're allowed to do based on the March agreement. Oh, wait, you can't do that yet because there's enough time for way more games than you guys want to play. So if you put into effect some 48-game season right now, we'll be able to accurately put up the grievance that you didn't work in the best interest of the most games possible. Yeah. This is exactly what the players need to do. And by the way, J.A., I don't blame you because everybody knows in sports you have to give at least 120% for it to be all the way.
Guarantee to work?
It's only 100% sure.
Okay. Frank, you've said this on the show in the past. Everybody has, actually. The commissioner works for the owners. I'm going to ask a really basic question here, but why is that the case?
Well, they're the ones that own the teams, and the players have their own union. But in this case, he also is a steward of the sport. And that's why he's got to step in and do something. A 50-game baseball season just doesn't cut it. That's like having a 5-game NFL season. It's a complete sham. Look what happened in 94 when you didn't have the World Series. Then you had to have a fake home run chase in 98 to try to bring some fans back. You know, Mike Trout, it's interesting. On this show, plenty of times, we've talked about how baseball has failed to properly market Mike Trout. Now you have him out there now saying when and where I want to play. You're really not going to play at this point. To me, this is on the owners, but it's the commissioner. He needs to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a very nice tribute to baseball you gave us today, Jay Adane, with 0 points, squadooch in the first segment. Sarah's pain. I'm still blown away by Manfred Splaine. I mean, points, I thought somebody was blinded by the light or somebody was going to go with Manfred Mann or whatever, or man spreading yourself all over the subway, but no, you've done it again. You know, we never even got into the pandemic part of this pandemic.
Yeah.
Because while baseball has labor issues and everybody wants their money lined up, they still don't have a plan for, an example, runners leading off first base when they want him 6 feet away from the first baseman. That's like Pony League baseball. Once you get the first, you just round the bases because no one can go near you. I don't get that either. All right, we've been horned. Taking a break right here. When we come back in 2 minutes, Oklahoma State, which is a wholly unsatisfactory situation for everybody.
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
Chuba Hubbard today. I was never wrong for saying what I said. I'm a man. Realized I should have went to him as a man face-to-face rather than on Twitter. Mike Gundy, no public comments today as of our tape time. Yesterday said his meeting with players, he realized it was a very sensitive issue with what's going on in today's society. Oklahoma State AD Mike Holder, no public comments today. Yesterday said the comments from players were of grave concern. Gundy's OAN shirt, Hubbard's tweet, the video, it left nobody contented or even contained. Jay Adande, we'll start with you. Where is Oklahoma State right now?
Well, the important thing, if Chuba Hubbard feels like his concerns have been addressed, then, you know, it's not for us to really get into it, though. Although it would have been nice for perhaps Mike Gundy to offer an apology, even if it was one of those, I apologize if I offended, non-apology apologies, but he didn't even do that. So Chuba Hubbard was the one who apologized when he was the one who had the grievance in the first place. So that whole video was awkward. It didn't seem to successfully resolve the issue. But again, Chuba Hubbard tweeted today that he feels the necessary changes are being made. And if he's satisfied, then far be it from me to further the issue.
Sarah, are you there with Adande? If Hubbard is satisfied, we should be satisfied?
No, I will definitely further the issue. I think this is the tip of the iceberg because if you look at the way players rallied around, say, Dabo Swinney and talked about how he, you know, they know his heart, that did not happen. I have not seen anyone defend Gundy. In fact, I've seen players both present and past talk about how they were told they would get sent back to the hood or criticized for wearing do-rags. This is the tip of the iceberg. And while Chuba said that he was going to make change happen behind the scenes and maybe, not, you know, that this is far from over, his motivation is still there, I think other people are going to start holding Gundy accountable, not just for this, but for the past, and also for saying in this moment, I was unaware that this was a sensitive thing. We are done letting people off the hook for pretending like they don't have to understand the issues, particularly of the students. If they choose to be a collegiate coach and make millions, I think parents are going to have to look at who they're sending their kids to play for, and Mike Gundy's going to start to realize real quick.
You think there's going to be an effect here, consequence in recruiting for Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy. Frank Isola, bring you in here.
Yeah, that will be remain to be seen. I'm not sure Mike Gundy has to apologize for wearing a T-shirt at a fishing trip with his kids. I don't think Chuba has to apologize either for the fact that he tweeted something out. Even though in the story first breaks, I'm thinking, it's got to be a little bit deeper than this, because why wouldn't he just call his coach and say, hey, coach, you know that shirt you're wearing, this is why I have an issue with it. But it's very similar to me in what happened with Drew Brees. Something happens, there's outrage on social media by people close to you on your team, and then there's some type of resolution that is reached. It's almost like an after-school special. And this conflict resolution all gets done in basically a couple of hours, and it comes across a bit like a PR move on both sides.
Wait, let me make sure I have this right. Do you believe Mike Gundy should come out today and explain what change is coming, Frank Isola?
Well, I think both of them should. I don't understand what they mean by change. And remember, too, Tony, the video that we saw last night, the one that a lot of people are uncomfortable with, Mike Gundy was wearing OSU shirt. So when he's wearing something in his private life, yes, you can have a problem with it. Absolutely. Everyone is entitled to their political views. But it's not like he wore that shirt at an event with Oklahoma State.
Sarah Spain.
I think it. You can wear whatever shirt you want, but you will be held accountable for how people see
that.
This is a network that says that Black Lives Matter is a farce, that endorses Pizzagate and conspiracy theories. I don't think that we need to play the both sides game with what people present as their political views, especially when those views go far beyond policy and affect whether or not they respect the value of all the people that they're coaching.
Jay, can I ask you about the landscape of college football, college athletics? You're a professor at a university at Northwestern. The voice young athletes have now in a world where black athletes, black football players, make up 50% of the population in college football, but white head coaches are closer to 85 to 90%. Are you sensing a seismic shift in the dynamic?
Absolutely. The recognition that their words alone have power. You know, we haven't even seen a threat of a boycott or anything like that. But you see that the shift at Iowa, getting the strength and conditioning coach out the paint because they felt uncomfortable. They felt that he was demeaning to African-American athletes. We're seeing at Texas, changes could be coming there. They've made themselves very clear on where they stand and the changes that they want. We'll see if they address. And I think this goes back to Missouri a few years ago when the football team was very active in the campus protests that ultimately resulted in the university president being tossed out the paint. So this strengthening of the collegiate athlete voices, it ties into what's going on around the country. And I think it'll only get more powerful as we see the name, image, and likeness compensation coming their way. That's on the horizon as well.
I gave those stats on players and coaches in college football. In programs, there are 35 black athletic directors in 330 programs, primarily in D1 sport, that percentage as well. Just over 10%. All right, Jay, that's going to be your last word today. Thanks for your time. Sarah Spain, Frank Isola in 2 minutes talking about Madden 21, Lamar Jackson, the beach football cover over the jet ski.
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
USTA announcing the U.S. Open will be as scheduled this year. And you can add Nick Kyrgios to Novak Djokovic, Ash Barty, Simona Halep. Players unhappy. Kyrgios called it selfish. Is it selfish to hold this? And who will wind up making the call here, the Federation or the players? Sarah Spain, first to you.
Unfortunately, I think it is selfish. There are places all over the world that have gotten down to zero COVID cases. We're asking international players to fly straight into the mess. And I think the players will influence it.
Mm-hmm. Frank Isola.
In the first U.S. Open I ever went to in 1981, I was probably about 3 years old. It was Borg McEnroe. It was all about the crowd. You're not going to have crowds at the U.S. Open. Granted, half of them don't even know the sport. You need a crowd if you're going to have a U.S. Open. Sorry.
Wait, so you praised the crowd, then you took a shot at them for not even knowing the sport. All right.
Well, half of them do. Half of them don't know the sport.
Boyd Spade will move on. Showdown 2. Kyle Shanahan's extension makes him a top 5 highest paid coach in the NFL. Is he worth it, Frank Isola?
Oh, I think he absolutely is. Can you imagine if they had won the Super Bowl? Maybe he would have gotten an 8-year deal. He's an innovative coach. Good signing by the 49ers.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, super long contracts are always a little bit scary, but I think he earned it and deserved it. It feels like the kind of relationship they'll be okay with years from now.
Top 5. Hasn't got a Super Bowl yet. Here's for the point. How many active coaches have won a Super Bowl? Frank? Sarah?
Five.
4.
You're both wrong. 9. You're both losing a point. We'll move on.
9.
Showdown 3. Madden 21. Here's the Lamar Jackson cover. They went with this photo and not the shot of him going over the jet ski while playing beach football. What's more frightening for Ravens fans, the Madden curse or the jet ski hurdle, Sarah Spain?
Can't be signed by an NFL team, I guess the curse, but curses don't mean a thing. There's no such thing.
Oh, I believe in this one. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm saying, woo! Thank God Patrick Mahomes is not on the cover of this game. Let it be Lamar Jackson.
He already was.
Well, he was last year, Frank, and they won the Super Bowl. He was the one that busted the curse.
How do I? You think I play that video game? Come on.
All right. I guess that means Sarah Spain's getting the FaceTime here. 30 seconds, Sarah.
I know the NBA and WNBA are very concerned about their return to play, taking focus away from the activism that they're so carefully and passionately pursuing. My idea is to take the idea from Share the Mic Now, have contracts with the media where for each 5 minutes that they talk about the game, 5 minutes goes to a voice that they think needs to be amplified.
Thank you very much for that, Sarah Spain. Always using your FaceTime to amplify voices. We'll be back tomorrow, 23-hour and 40-minute break.